fundamental truths, Lord. I pray you'd help us to be able to learn these truths and to be able to be grounded in what we believe, Lord, to understand that the things we believe and the things that we say, Lord, our church and we stand for are not just doctrinal things that the Baptists came up with or doctrinal things that a religion came up with, but they come straight out of the Bible. And help us to be able to learn and grow to that place where we can know what we believe. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, everybody should have received one of these handouts again. And like I said, this is not something we normally do at our church where we hand out notes and stuff like that. But when we're going through this series on fundamental truths, I want you to be able to have something in your hand, something you can maybe file away somewhere and maybe review in the future. And if anyone ever asks you a question about, well, why do you believe in salvation by grace through faith? Or why do you believe in eternal security? You can have something to reference back to and be able to learn. And like I said, we might eventually develop this into some sort of a course where we can take a new convert through and disciple them in the things that our church believes. And so we're in lesson two of our fundamental truths series, and the lesson is entitled Eternal Security. We're dealing tonight with the subject of eternal security. If you look down at the introduction, number one, this lesson is on the subject of eternal security. Number two, eternal security is the belief that once you're saved, you're always saved. Okay? That's what eternal security means, with a belief that once you are saved, you are always saved. Now, there are a lot of churches and a lot of religions that do not agree with that. They believe that salvation is something you have and that you have the ability to lose it. They believe that based on how you live your life, that based on the things you do, if you are to sin, or if you were to quit coming to church, if you were to go back to a worldly lifestyle, then you would lose your salvation. It's something you could gain and lose, gain and lose, gain and lose. And I want to give you just really just three thoughts explaining why we believe in eternal security. Number one, we believe in eternal security because of God's promise. Plain and simple. We believe in eternal security because of God's promise. If you look at letter A, God promised us eternal or everlasting life at salvation. God promised us eternal or everlasting life at salvation. I wrote down, I want to read these verses for you just because there's so many verses that have this phrase, but I want you to see them there. John 3:15 says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Do you see that? Look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 6:40. And this is the will of Him that sent Me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise them up at the last day. John 10:27, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. Do you see that? It says they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. Romans 5:21. And that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is, what is the gift of God? It is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Titus 3:7. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Jude 1:21. Says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now look, I just read a multitude of verses to you that tell you that God gave you everlasting and eternal life. Now I almost did, but I didn't put every verse in the Bible, but I could have, because that phrase eternal life or the phrase everlasting life is found 37 times in the Bible. 37 times in the Bible do you find the phrase being said, you get eternal life. You get and then you notice, especially in the Gospels, it's connected with this word, believe. He that believeth on Him may have everlasting life. He that believeth on Him hath eternal life. The Bible says when you believe, you got eternal life. God promised you, as salvation, everlasting or eternal life. And by the way, go back to that first page there. Just something for the soul winners, something for you to see. 1 John 5:13. When I knock on somebody's door, and every once in a while, you know, we'll say, hi, we're coming from Verity Baptist Church, wanted to give you and your family an invitation to church. Do you go to church anywhere? Yeah, I go to so-and-so church. Oh, great. Listen, more importantly than going to church, though, do you know if you were to die today, if you'd go to heaven or hell? Or are you not sure? Maybe you never thought about it. Every once in a while, I'll get somebody who say, well, nobody can know for sure. There's no, you don't. In fact, I got people say to me, you don't know you're going to heaven. Nobody can know they're going to heaven. And that's because they believe in a work salvation. They believe, you know, because they think, well, you know, it's not until you die that we'll know if you're going to go, you know, because what if you kill somebody right before you die or something like that? And I'll usually say to something like that, I'll say, well, the Bible says you can know for sure you're on the way to heaven. And if they say, well, no, it doesn't, I'll say, I'll show you one verse, I'll prove to you that it says. And I'll always take him to 1 John 5:13. And you can see that, 1 John 5:13 in your first page, the last verse on the first page. This is just for you soul winners. It says, these things have I written unto you. Now, the these things is referring to the Word of God, okay? So I always tell them that. I say, these things, and I tell them that's referring to the Bible, have I written unto you. So you know, I'll say, God is telling us why He wrote us the Bible. These things have I written unto you, that believeth in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. Do you see that? That ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So not only can I have eternal life, but according to the Bible, I can know that I have eternal life. Does that make sense? And we'll say, if I could show you how you could know for sure you're on your way to heaven, would you be interested? And unfortunately, usually people say, no, I'm not interested. And I think, okay, that's insane. You want to go to hell? I guess that's your prerogative. But anyway, back to the sermon. 37 times the phrase eternal life, everlasting life, appears in the Bible. Now, we've got to answer this question. When do we receive eternal or everlasting life? Because here's what people will say. I'll show them verses that say God wants to give you eternal life. God wants to give you everlasting life. And they'll say, well, you're misunderstanding. If you look at point number one, it says, some will argue that you only get eternal or everlasting life once you die. So you have the possibility of losing your salvation while you're still alive. So they'll say something like this. They'll say, you get saved, you know, like today, I got saved. But God doesn't actually give me eternal life until I die. Once I die, because here's the thing, I could lose my salvation, I could, you know, kill somebody, I could commit adultery, I could do something really bad, and then I could lose it. But if I live a good life all the way up until I die, then if I die and I lived a good life, then at that point God gives me everlasting life. That's what many of the eternal security critics will say. Look at number two. We're on the second page, number two under B. The Bible tells us we receive eternal or everlasting life when we believe, not when we die. And I want you to see these verses. Do you see John 3:36? It says, he that believeth on the Son, I want you to notice this word, hath everlasting life. Do you see that? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 6:47 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Now, that word hath, I've got the definition for you. That's an older word, an archaic word we don't use today. But the word hath means this. Number one, to hold or maintain as a possession. Number two, to hold in one's use. Number three, to acquire or get the possession. Number four, to hold certain. The word hath is our modern day word have. H-A-V-E, have. So the Bible says, he that believeth on me hath or has everlasting life. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. So when do you get everlasting life? When you die? Does it say, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, after he dies, if he lives a good life, then will he have No. It's present tense. You have it right now. When do you get it? Here's when you get it. When you believe. When you believe, he that believeth hath everlasting life. Does that make sense? So it doesn't make sense to say you get it at the end of life. No, as soon as you believe, you got it. My eternal life started the moment I believed. And obviously it'll last forever, never go away. Now here's the thing. Why can't we lose it? Letter C. Why can't we lose it? Well, number one, eternal or everlasting life means life that will last forever. Usually when I'm explaining this to people or out soul winning or just talking to somebody about it, I'll ask them, you know, are you familiar with the word everlasting? Do you know what the word everlasting means? And honestly, think yourself, what does the word everlasting mean? Well, just break the word everlasting. It means it'll last forever. Does that make sense? Everlasting, I put the definition there for you, will last forever. Eternal is a different way of saying the same thing. Eternal doesn't mean will last forever. Eternal actually means it will never end. Does that make sense? The word E has to do with ending something. Like if you were going to leave... If you were going to leave this building, you would go out the exit. You know what I'm talking about? Or like eternal. It comes from the same root word as like to terminate. You know what I'm talking about? You know, to terminate or something like that. To terminate something, to end something. Eternal, when you put that E there, it's talking about not being terminated. Not ending. So the word everlasting means it'll last forever. Eternal means it'll never end. Two different ways of saying the same thing. God says, I'm going to give you everlasting life. I'm going to give you life that will last forever. And he says, and just to make sure you understand what I'm talking about, he says, I'm going to give you eternal life, which means life that'll never end. Does that make sense? And it's interesting because if you look there, and you can go to page number one, if you look at John 3:15 and John 3:16, it's John 3:16, the most well-known verse in the Bible. And John 3:15 almost says the exact same thing, but he uses those words interchangeably. If you look at John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you see that? Two different ways of saying the same thing. One is saying life that will last forever. One is saying life that will never end. Number two, on page two, under letter C, number two. Here's what you got to understand. If it doesn't last forever, then it wasn't eternal or everlasting life. Do you understand that? I know this is pretty basic things, but first of all, it's fundamental truths. But these are things we got to understand. Most Christians do not believe this. What we're teaching right now, they don't believe this. And unfortunately, a lot of these people are going to die and go to hell, because if you don't believe this, you're not saved. And I'll explain that to you in a second. But if it doesn't last forever, then it wasn't eternal, everlasting life. If it doesn't last forever, then God lied. Do you understand that? If God says, I'm going to give you everlasting life, I'm going to give you life that will last forever, I'm going to give you life that will never end, I'm going to give you life that will never stop, and then it stops, then God lied. Look at Titus 1:2 there. The Bible says, in hope of eternal life. That's what we're talking about, right? Eternal life. He says, here's your hope for eternal life. What's my hope for eternal life? Look what it says. Which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. See, God can't lie. And if God promises you eternal life, then it's eternal life. If God promises you everlasting life, then it's everlasting life. If God says, the moment you believe, I'm going to give you life that will last forever, life that will never end, then guess what? That life better last forever and it better not end, because if it does end, then God lied. And we know that God can't lie. Now, oftentimes when I'm explaining this to people, I'll say something like this. I'll say, now listen. If God gave you everlasting life starting right now, eternal life starting today, life that will last forever, life that will never end, when will that life end? And most people say, well, never. It's never going to end. And I'll ask, just because I try to get people to think. I don't want people to agree with me because I'm the pastor. Does that make sense? I want them to agree with the Bible. Number one, I don't want them to agree with me. I'm a sinner just like you are. I deserve hell as much as anyone else. But we got to agree with the Bible. So I'll ask a question like this. When will it end? Well, it'll never end. I'll say, well, will it end 100 years from now? Well, no. Will it end 1,000 years from now? Well, no, of course not. It won't. And then I'll say this. Okay, because then we can put it into a practical sense. Okay, if God said he was going to give you everlasting life starting right now, eternal life starting today, and I'll say this over and over, life that'll last forever, life that will never end. I'll say, what? And I'll usually say to the person, now look, I don't think you'd ever do this. But what if 5 years from now, you walk in a bank, you rob the bank, and you kill someone? You think God would take away your everlasting life? Now see, now we start getting people to think. And this is what we're trying to get. We're trying to get people to grow in their understanding of Scripture. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to make people become a Baptist because I'm a Baptist. I'm trying to make people become understanding the Scripture because that's what's going to... Look, long after Pastor Jimenez is dead and gone, the Word of God will remain. Amen. And long after, you know, when you're in that battle and you feel like you're all alone and you don't got a fellow soldier around you, you got the Word of God and you got to understand what you believe based on the Word of God. And when we put it in that practical sense, a lot of times you start seeing people thinking. And a lot of times when I say that example to people, and not all the time, but a lot of time I'll have people say to me, well, of course God would take my salvation away if I walk in a bank, rob the bank, and kill somebody. And then I'll ask them this question. Well, if 5 years from now God takes your everlasting life away, now this is what I'll ask. Did it last forever? And usually it clicks with people because they think, well, no, it didn't last forever. Well, if it didn't last forever, then God lied. And God can't lie. And here's what you got to understand about eternal life. And this is what people don't... And I know this is kind of a lot of soul winning and we're dealing... Starting next week, we'll get off the subject of salvation. But we need to understand this, okay, in our Christian lives. The reason God can guarantee... Because people have this idea. The people that don't believe in eternal security, they have this idea. Well, I ask Jesus to save me, He forgives me of my sins today. But if I mess up tomorrow, then He'll take my salvation away. And here's what we don't understand, though. Okay? When God forgives you of your sins, He forgives you of all your sins. Your past sins, your present sins, and all the sins you're going to perform in the future. And we gotta make sure we understand this, and we gotta make sure we explain this to people. When Jesus died on the cross, He died on the cross when? Over 2,000 years ago? Well, I don't think anybody here is 2,000 years old, obviously. So guess what? When Jesus died on the cross, all your sins were in the future anyway. So what is so magical about the sin you did last week as opposed to the sin you're going to do next week? They're all sin. He died for all of them. See, He forgives you of all your sins. He already knows what you're going to do in the future. He's already forgiven you for that. That's how He can guarantee you everlasting life. Now let me just answer this. Because sometimes you say that to people and you'll get someone who thinks they're real smart. Well, what about the people that lived before Jesus died? And then I'll say, well, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. So before God ever even created, before God ever even said, let there be, before God ever even laid the foundation for planet Earth, He already had it set in stone that Jesus Christ would die to save the mankind of their sins. He is the Savior of all men. Especially those who believe, is what the Bible says. So He's forgiven every man of all their sins. And when you accept His gift, and you accept His salvation, He forgives you of all your sins. Past, present, future, because when He died on the cross, and when God had decided that He had paid for your sins, guess what? All your sins were in the future. So it's everlasting life. It's eternal life. When do you get it? When you believe. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You get it when you believe. It starts immediately. If it ends, then God's a liar. And if it ends, then if God's a liar, then we're of all men most miserable. I mean, we have no hope anyway. Okay, so why do we believe in eternal life? Well, actually, look at point number 3 under C. If it doesn't last forever, then God lied. And we know God cannot lie. Titus 1:2, and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Look at verse number 4. And here's what I think is interesting. God, it seems to me from the Bible, that God actually takes offense. It almost seems as if God takes it as if He's being accused of lying when someone denies the doctrine of eternal security. Well, because we read the Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. In Titus 1:2, this is what God said. God said, we might have asked a question in our heads. Well, what guarantees me eternal life? And this was God's answer. I'm not a liar. That's what guarantees you eternal life. You understand that? That's His answer. He's like, He's speaking to us like a dad. Well, how do, you know, you tell your kids, well, we're going to go do this. Well, how do we know we're going to do that? Because I said so. That's why we're going to do it. Well, God said, I'm going to give you everlasting life. Well, how do you know we're going to get everlasting life? Because He said so. That's all we need. He said, I'm not a liar. He said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised for the world to be in. But look at 1 John 2:25. This is what I'm telling you. God almost takes, I feel like as I read about this, God is take as offended that we would that we would not just take him at his word that he's going to give us everlasting life. Look at 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Do you see that? So you say, well, how do you know I'm going to get it? And God says, because I promised you. If I gave you a promise, I'm good on my promise. He says, I'm not a man that I should lie. 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God, look what it says. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Do you see that? He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Why? Now here, look, this is how you study the Bible. You know, a lot of times we just read verses and we read them and we don't really. Slow down. Look at what it's saying. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Do you see that semicolon? That means the next phrase has to do with the last one. He says, you made God a liar. Why did you make God a liar? Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Period. So why do you make God a liar? You make God a liar because you did not believe the record that God gave of his Son. Then we would ask, what is the record that God gave of his Son? Well, look at verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, what? Eternal life. And this life is in his Son. You see that? So God said, hey, if you don't believe the record that I gave of my Son, you're calling me a liar. And then you say, well, what's the record? And then the next verse he says, here's the record that God gave of his Son, eternal life.
Amen.
And all throughout the Bible, you say, in hope of eternal life, God that God I lie. He said, this is a promise that he had promised us, even eternal life. Why do we believe in eternal security? Because God said it. And we ought to be able to close the Bible and start right there. Pray and be dismissed. Why do we believe in everlasting life? Why do we believe in eternal security? Why do we believe in life that will last forever? Why do we believe in life that will never end? Simply because God promised it to us.
Yeah.
And that ought to be enough. And please understand this. When God says he's going to give us everlasting life or eternal life, he doesn't mean you're going to live on earth like some sort of immortal. Eternal life means that when you die physically, when this body dies physically, you will not die the second death of being cast into a lake of fire. But instead you'll go live in heaven with him for eternity. Does that make sense? That's eternal life. Point number two. Why do we believe in eternal life? Well, we said number one, we believe in eternal life because of God's promise. Number two, why do we believe in eternal life? Because of our relationship with the Father. Because of our relationship with the Father. Letter A. When we got saved, point number two, Roman numeral two, our relationship with the Father. Letter A. When we got saved, you were born into the family of God. Now, a lot of people believe that, you know, people may say me like this, we're all the children of God. And the Bible does make reference to that in some ways in regards to the fact that that God made us. But here's what you're going to say. In Genesis chapter number 1 and verse 1, the very first verse in the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You and I are all created by God. Like the Declaration of Independence says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. God is our Creator. But you do not become a son of God or a daughter of God until you get saved. We're not all children of God. Look at John chapter 3, verse 3, that I've got it in your notes there. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we saw these verses last week, but I want you to see them again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, the Bible says salvation is a birth. Now, when you were born physically, when my children were born physically, you know, last week we talked about how birth is an event. It's a one-time event. It happens in a moment of time. But here's the thing. Also, when they were born into a family. You understand what I'm saying? My children were born. And when they were born to a father and a mother. Your children were born to you. You know, they may not like it, but they were. You may not like who you were born to, but you were. When you get born, you have a mom, you have a dad. John 3:7 says, marvel not that I said unto thee, look what he said, ye must be born again. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. By the way, for you soul winners, 1 Peter 1:23, somebody tries to argue with you about the fact that you don't need the Bible to get people saved. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, so what do you get born again? Of incorruptible seed. And what is that incorruptible seed? By the word of God. You see that? Which liveth and abideth forever. So how do you get born again? Of incorruptible seed. What's that incorruptible seed? By the word of God. Do you notice how the Bible just completely always defines itself for us? This is the record that God gave of His Son. Well, what's the record? Eternal life. It always describes it though. Ephesians 2:19. Look at this. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the, notice what it says, household of God. Let me tell you something. You may not like who you were born to physically. You may not like who you were born to in this world. But the Bible says when you got saved, you were born again. You got a new father and He is God, Almighty God. You were born into the household of God when you got saved. Now here's what you got to understand. Look, letter B. When you got born again, when you got saved, now you got born into the family of God, but you became a child of God. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received Him, okay? Now remember, the gift of God is what? Eternal life, right? It's a gift. And who is that gift? It's Jesus Christ. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. The Bible says, but as many as received Him. The word Him there is referring to the Word, to Jesus Christ. And it says, if you receive Him, receive who? Jesus Christ. So if you receive Him, receive His salvation, receive His pardon, receive Him as your Savior. He says, but as many as received them, to them, who's the them referring to? Those who received Him. Are you following what I'm saying? To them is those who received Him. So it says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. So who got the power to become the sons of God? Those that received Him. See, only those who receive Christ become the sons of God. Even, and then He explains to us, what does it mean to receive Him? Look at the last part of verse 12. Even to them that believe on His name. Do you see that? So He explains it. You say, how do I receive Him? By believing on His name. What happens when I receive Him? I get the power to become the Son of God. Look at Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Do you see that? You got born again. You got adopted. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know why we can stand up and say, Dear Heavenly Father, and refer to God as our Father? Because when I got saved, I got the spirit of adoption. I can stand up and I can cry, Abba. I can cry, Father. Why? Because as many as you receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. When you got saved, God became your Heavenly Father. And He's only the Father of those who believe. Look at 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Look what it says. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. Does that sound like this morning? Why do they hate us? Because of Jesus Christ. Because they hated Jesus. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The Bible says when He appears, when He comes in the cloud, and we see Him, we will be like Him. Our bodies will become like His glorified body, and we'll become like that. But here's the thing, when are we the sons of God? Now are we the sons of God. So here's what you got to understand. When you got saved, you got born again into a new family. You got born again into the family of God, the household of God. And when you got born again, God became your Heavenly Father. Now here's what you got to understand. What would it take for you to condemn your children to hell? How bad would they have to be? Now look, we ought to discipline our children. We ought to spank our children. We ought to make sure, but I don't think, I don't think there's any mom and dad on planet Earth that would condemn their children to hell, no matter what they did. I didn't say prison. I didn't say jail. I said everlasting damnation, a place with fire and brimstone. How bad would your kids have to make you, how mad would they have to make you for you to say, you're going to hell. I'm condemning you to hell. I mean, I don't think there's many of us that would condemn our children to a life sentence in prison. I know that when these guys go around killing all these people, a lot of times mom is still there at the courthouse crying, for her child. Why? Because that guy could be a lunatic, maniac, crazy. But guess what? A mom still loves her child. You understand that? And now here's a question. Look at Matthew 7:11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things unto them that ask him? See, here's the thing. If you that are evil, if you that don't have a clue when it comes to parenting, if you that yells at your children, you're mean with your children, you don't love your kids, you don't spend time with your kids, you spend more time on the television, or spend more time on Facebook, or spend more time sleeping, or spend more time doing whatever than you do with your kids, if you wouldn't condemn your kids to hell, why would you accuse the Heavenly Father of condemning his children to hell when they miss it? You understand that? I'm secured my salvation because my Heavenly Father would not send me to hell. Now he will correct me. He will chastise me. He will discipline me. He will make sure that if I'm doing wrong, he'll punish me. But he's not going to take away salvation. My kids, when they mess up, I spank them and I talk to them and I discipline them and I make sure. But guess what? At the end of the day, they're still my kids. And I still love them. No matter what they do. And if they grow up and they serve God and they become great preachers and men of God and a great woman of God and they do great things for God, I'm going to be proud of them and I'm going to love them and I'm going to support them. But guess what? If they mess their lives up and they go into drugs and alcohol and gangs and they do everything, guess what? I'm still going to love them. They're still my kids. They're still the kids God gave me. And if me, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto my children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father? And guess what? Here's the thing. The relationship of a father and a son is an eternal relationship. In heaven, for all of eternity, my children will be my children. Joshua, Joel, and Elizabeth Rose will be the children of Roger Jimenez, will be the children of Joanne Jimenez for all of eternity. And that relationship will never end. Now here's what the interesting thing is. The relationship of husband and wife ends in heaven. It does here on earth too. Yeah, that's not good. But even in heaven, the Bible says when you get to heaven, my wife and I will not be married in heaven. I'm sure we'll still be friends. Hopefully. I'll be like, can I come over? I had enough of you. No, thank you. Just one more batch of cookies. You know, but in heaven, the Bible says we won't be given to marriage. But for all eternity, my children will be my children. Do you understand that? So it's an eternal relationship. So why do we believe in eternal security? Number one, because God promised it. Number two, because of our relation with the Father. Once I became His son, I'm in His family forever. That'll never end. And people say, what if I mess up? What if I stop coming to church? What if I live a bad life? Then you're just going to have a bad relationship with your parent. There's lots of people that have bad relationships with their parents. But they're still your kids. You'll never change your mom and dad. You'll never change your children. Number three, why do we believe in eternal security? We believe in eternal security because of the sealing of the Holy Ghost. Because of the sealing of the Holy Ghost. Letter A, when you got saved, you were sealed with the Holy Ghost. John 6:27 says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. There's that word, right? Which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Do you see that? A sealing, we don't really do this today anymore, but and there used to be a day when they would have a document and they would seal it. And what that means is there'd be like a king or someone who would write a letter and then he would take that letter and he'd fold it over. And at the crease there, where they would open it, what they would do is they would take some hot wax, maybe off a candle or something, they'd pour it right on there, and they would make, it would glue that paper together. And what they would think, while it was still soft, they would have a ring on their finger that would be a seal. This was kind of the equivalent of their signature. And they would put that ring into that wax there, and as they removed it, it left a seal. And when that letter went to another king or someone, they got the letter and they knew based on the seal who that letter belonged to. Does that make sense? And they weren't allowed to open it. You could tell if the seal had been broken, if someone had opened it, if the seal was cracked. That sealing said, this belongs to the king or belongs to the prince or belongs to whoever. And the Bible says when you and I got saved, we were sealed. Look at Ephesians 1:13. in whom, and I know we've talked about this before, but I feel like we need to repeat things sometimes to make sure we get it in our heads. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Do you see that? Now let me just say this. The Pentecostals today will try to tell us that when you get saved, you don't get the Holy Spirit. Okay? They'll say you get saved, but it's a process. And you get a little bit of the Holy Spirit, and you get a little more, and then they'll say when you speak in tongues, then you get the whole anointing. You get it all. Let me tell you something. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, look at Ephesians 1:13. In whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. So here's the thing. You trusted, okay? You put your trust in, after what? After you heard the word. So you heard the word, and then you trusted in that word. What was the word? The gospel of your salvation. So you heard the gospel of your salvation, it made you trust, or made you believe. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed. So look, after ye believed, what happened? You believed, and then what happened? You were sealed. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when were you sealed with the Holy Spirit? After you believed. You see that? When did you believe? When you trusted in the gospel of salvation. How did you trust? After that you heard the word. See, that's why you got to hear the word so you can trust the word. When you trust the word, you believe the word. When you believe the word, you're sealed with the Spirit of God. So when do you get the Spirit of God? When you believe. Yeah. The Pentecostals said, well, no, you get it seven. You got seven steps to the Spirit of God. That's not in the Bible. Show me that in the Bible. The Bible says you get it after you believe. You get the Holy Spirit. Look at Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. When are you sealed by the Holy... When will you stop being sealed by the Holy Spirit? Well, you're sealed unto the day of redemption. The day of redemption is when you stop being sealed. That word redemption or redeem has a monetary type term to it. And when you redeem something, you purchase it or you claim it as your own. You pay the full price and you get it. God says you are sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. For us, that would be the rapture. When God comes back and redeems us out of this earth, He says, until then, you're sealed with the Spirit. Now here's the interesting thing. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:22. The Bible says, who hath also sealed us, we know with the Holy Spirit, and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. I like to use this illustration because I think it makes people understand. You see there, underneath that, we have a definition there for the term called earnest money. This is a definition for earnest money. Earnest money is a deposit made to a seller showing the buyer's intent to purchase. Often used in real estate transactions, earnest money may be lost if the buyer backs out of the transaction. And this is a term that, I don't know if it's used that much anymore. I'm sure maybe Ms. Blanco or Brother Sergio could tell me that. But I know it's a term that was used a lot in the past. Is that still used today, earnest money? Okay, good. Well, the term earnest money is, you buy. I know when my wife and I were buying a house, we were asked that if we were, you know, if we were interested in a house, we saw a house, we were interested, we were supposed to give $1,000. We gave $1,000 to the real estate person. And what that meant was that we were interested, we wanted to buy that house, and we were serious in purchasing that house, $1,000. And that $1,000 went towards the purchase once the purchase went through. But here's the catch. If we backed out. Now, if they backed out, it was something different. But if my wife and I backed out, if we gave them $1,000, we said, we're serious, we want to buy this house. And then 3 days later, we get cold feet and we're like, no, we don't want that house. I don't like that neighborhood. I don't want to start a church in Northgate. No, I'm just kidding. But if we said, no, we don't want it, then guess what? We lost the money, $1,000. Because we put that as an earnest, okay? Now, we didn't lose it. As long as we went through with the deal, we didn't lose it. But if we backed off, then we lost the money. That's the point of earnest money. Because here's the thing. Everybody talks big. I want that house. I'm going to buy that house. Okay, put $1,000 down. Well, I don't know about that. And then they know you're not serious. You put the money down because they know you're serious. Does that make sense? Because you know you can lose it. Now, here's the thing. God did not put $1,000 down earnest on you and I. God gave us, look at 2 Corinthians 1:22, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You see that? That's capital S Spirit. That's not your Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. See, when God saved you, He sealed you, and the real estate agent, the devil or whoever, I'm not calling real estate agents devil, that came out wrong. But the person there said, God, are you serious about this purchase? You want to buy this church? You want to redeem these people? And he said, yeah, I'm so serious about it, I'll put down the earnest. And he said, what are you going to put down, God, $1,000? No, my Holy Spirit. Now here's the thing. He's the earnest of the Spirit. You see that? When did He seal us? Look at Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You see that? It guarantees when God gave me the Holy Spirit, sealed me with His Spirit, gave me the earnest of the Spirit, it guarantees that He's going to come back. Because here's what you got to understand. If God does not come back for me, if God allows me to go to hell, if my everlasting life ever ends, guess what God loses? His Holy Spirit. You say, can God lose His Holy Spirit? God is the Holy Spirit. You understand that? God, the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. God is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. God cannot see. Here's what you got to understand. God put everything on the line at our salvation. He says, if I don't come through with this, then I'm a liar and I can't lie. He says, if I don't come through with this, then I'm a worse father than you people are. He said, if I don't come through with this, he said, I'm going to lose my Holy Spirit. And God cannot lose His Holy Spirit. So here's the thing. If God doesn't redeem or claim you and I, then He loses the earnest of His Spirit. You know why I bought my house? Because I'm too cheap to lose $1,000. Once I put it down, I told my wife, are we serious about this? Do we need to think about this? No, we like this house, Okay. Because once we put this money down, I'm committed. Because when I started buying a house, all I had was $1,000. Finance the rest, you know. And God gave us the earnest. That's not good. That's how a lot of people got in trouble, by the way. God gave us the earnest of the Spirit. Say, why? People say, why do you guys believe in eternal security? Here's why I believe in eternal security. Number one, because God said so. He said eternal life, everlasting life. That ought to be good enough. But number two, because of our relationship with the Father. It's an eternal relationship, but on our own. And number three, because God sealed me with the Spirit, God gave me the earnest of the Spirit, and if God takes the Spirit away, if God doesn't redeem me, then He loses the Spirit. And God could not do that. And God can't lie. So of course, we believe. Sometimes people say mockingly, you're one of those once saved, always saved? I probably say, I am once saved, always saved. I believe that. I believe in eternal security. Now here's what you guys are saying. In conclusion, number one, we're almost done. To say that you can lose your salvation is to add works to salvation. To say that you can lose your salvation is to add works to salvation. Letter A. If you can lose your salvation based on something you do, like sin, then it is dependent on what you do. You understand that? If God gives me salvation, because people will say, oh no, God gave it to me. He died on the cross, He gave it to me, it's a free gift. But if I do something really bad, then He'll take it away. Then who's it dependent on? Me. As long as I don't do something really bad. Are you following what I'm saying? Sometimes we ask people about their eternal security, and they'll say things like, well, do you believe you could lose it? Well, no, I couldn't. And what they mean by that is, well, I would never do something that would cause me to lose it. So you got to be real careful when we're questioning people in regards to this. I'm talking to soul winners now. Letter B. It doesn't matter if you add works. It says had there. I should say add. I'm sorry, no, that's right. It doesn't matter if you had works before salvation, you must earn it. Or after salvation, you can lose it. It's still worth salvation. You understand that? So if someone says, well, you got to live a good life to go to heaven. You got to repent of your sins to go to heaven. You got to go to the confessional booth to go to heaven. You got to speak in tongues to go to heaven. You got to get baptized to go to heaven. We would say, no. You can't do anything to go to heaven. You're a sinner. You deserve hell. Jesus paid for it. All you got to do is believe. Amen. But once you have it, if you say, well, you got to go to church or He's going to take it away, guess what? It still works. You're just adding it at the end instead of the beginning. The Bible is clear. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Amen. Don't let anybody shake you from that. Don't let anybody take you from that. If you're going to try to get... But here's, you say, well, Pastor, why are we teaching these lessons? And they're pretty basic. They're pretty fundamental. Here's why. We've got to know what we believe. We've got to know, because look, as this church grows, there will come wolves in sheep's clothing. They will come into this, and they'll start spreading out things, and they'll start giving out things, and they'll do it without me knowing. And they'll start telling, well, do you, you know, the pastor says that eternal security stuff, but you know, the Bible actually, you got to know what you believe. It's you're in the battle too. You're in the fight too. I think we talked about that recently. And you got to be able to say, no, we believe in eternal security because God said God can't lie. We believe in eternal security because God's the Father and He's a better parent than you'll ever be. We believe in eternal security because He gave me the earnest spirit. See, when we start being knowledgeable and we start developing an arsenal of weapons, we become stronger soldiers. And we can do a better job at fighting the warfare, the spiritual warfare. So eternal security. The lessons are building on each other. Last week we talked about salvation. Went through very thoroughly on the subject of salvation. This week, eternal security. Once you're saved, you're always saved. And we'll just be developing more and more lessons. I hope you enjoy the little handouts, and you can take those, study them. And like I said, maybe one day, you can take someone, a new believer, through these lessons yourself. And be able to teach them that, okay? And let's go ahead and bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. Father, I really do thank you for a church like this one. I don't know if we really grasp it, but there are not a lot of places like this. And we say that because of the preaching, and we say that, but I'm not even talking about the preaching or the pastor or any. I'm just talking about our people. I love our people. They have a heart for you. They want to know the truth. They want to stand on the Word of God. Father, I just ask that you would please allow us to continue to go out and reach more people so that we could get more people to just have the same heart for the Word of God like we do. Father, thank you for our family. We love you in your precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, well, let's sing one song before we're dismissed. And let's go to page number 263. And we'll sing Verily, Verily, page number 263. Verily.